So my name is Adam Olliner. I'm going to talk today about some work that I've done at Berkeley with Anand Iyer, Jan Stoica, and a couple of people at the University of Helsinki, Emil and Zazu. So mobile is a hot topic. This is a cool letter to the editor style thing that I found, which I thought was great. This is someone complaining about a cell phone that was left in their pocket. They believed it to be idle, but in fact it was doing something and got very hot. And so I think this is sort of a good example of the kind of thing that we're looking at today. And if you have a smartphone or any kind of mobile device, you've probably had a similar experience to this, where at the beginning of the day, your device is fully charged, and then you do some work, well, maybe not immediately, and then your phone spends some time sitting idle in your pocket. Maybe you actually do some real work at some point, and then later in the day, you turn on the device and it's complaining that the battery has been drained. So as a user, this is a very frustrating experience, and from my conversations with other human beings, this is pretty much universal to people who have these devices. And as a user, you have basically three questions that you'd like to answer. The first is, why is this happening? Why is your battery draining? The second you might want to answer is, why is this normal? Is this normal? And this is the sort of question that the method that I'll be describing today is uniquely positioned to answer. And finally, you'd also like to know what you can do about it. And the reason that you'd like to know kind of whether this is normal or not is because, tomorrow you intend to use your phone the same way. Should you expect to see the same kind of battery drain? If you've got a different device, if you upgrade to, your old iPhone to an iPhone 5 or something, should you expect your battery to drain in a similar way? Does it have to do with the apps? Does it have to do with the phone model, et cetera? So today I'll be describing a method and an implementation of that method called Carrot, which aims to answer the questions that I just had on the previous slide. I'll talk a little bit about the process of going from the samples that we take on devices to the diagnosis that we ultimately present to the users. I'll talk about some of the uncertainty that the method has to deal with, both in terms of the measurements that we get on the devices and the way that we do the analysis in the cloud. And then finally, I'll talk about both an initial deployment and a little bit about kind of where we are today. So just to give a sense of kind of prior approaches to doing this sort of energy diagnosis, there's a bunch of work out of Purdue that looks at sort of ad hoc diagnosis. So they looked, for example, at a particular type of bug called a no-sleep bug, which was a violation of a locking discipline on Android devices. But if that were not the cause of the bug, then you wouldn't discover it. Most of the methods previously were intrusive. They would require that you either instrument the app, which means you'd need to have source code or try to decompile it, or you'd need to modify the operating system, which is often an obstacle for a normal user. And finally, there are dozens of apps that you can find on all the app stores that will claim to improve your battery life. What we've discovered is that they basically make these generic recommendations, like just kill all of your apps or just don't use your phone anymore and your battery life will improve. And ultimately, this is not very educational. And so the goal here is to say something a little bit more fine-grained about exactly what's going on. So our approach is a collaborative approach. This is something that you see more and more. So we instrument the devices in the crowd using a standard app. So this is something you can just download off of an app store. It sends this instrumentation data to an analysis running in the cloud. Ours in particular is running on Amazon Web Services, implemented in a language called Spark, which was developed at the AMP Lab at Berkeley. And this is a collaborative approach, so this makes us uniquely positioned to answer certain kinds of questions, and in particular questions of whether or not energy use is normal. So our implementation is an app called Carrot. This is a mobile app that you can get for iOS and Android. They're available on the App Store and the Google Play Store. This provides personalized energy debugging, and I'll show you what that means in the next slide. Carrot represents a particularly interesting design point, I think. It's also a pragmatic design point. So we wanted to find the method that is as invasive as you can get while still being deployable on both of the major app stores, meaning Apple's App Store and the Google Play Store. What this in practical terms means is that you basically are limited to what Apple allows you to measure. That's kind of the lower bound. But this is the maximally invasive method that's available on both of these stores. So this is some examples of what one of the versions of Carrot looks like. The main screen on the left here is called the actions list. And this tells you things like, if you kill Pandora, for example, then you should expect to see another hour and a half improvement in battery life on this particular device. You see something similar on the Android screen in the middle. And then on the right here, you have a device tab, which tells you some information about your particular device. One thing of note is this thing that we call a J-score. So we introduced a J-score as a way to kind of encourage people to, in just one number, kind of quantify how their battery life compares with their peers. So this is essentially a percentile of how your battery life relates to other similar devices. So a J-score of 64 would mean that 64% of users have worse battery life than you. Okay. So now I'll talk a little bit about how Carrot takes samples on the devices and then how the analysis turns those into diagnoses. So on an individual device, we get information like a timestamp. We get the battery level, which is indicated by that little battery icon, and then a bunch of features. And the features that are important to talk about today are the apps that are running or not running, whether or not you have Wi-Fi access or 3G access or 4G access, what sort of operating system and model you're running, and so on. And Carrot doesn't just take one sample per device. It takes these samples periodically. And so you get a sequence of samples during which time the battery may be draining, apps may be turning on and off, and your connectivity information may change. And there are other features like the OS version, which changes less frequently, and the model version, which for a given client never changes for us. Okay, but so these represent individual battery measurements. And what we're really interested here is battery drain. And so we have to convert the individual samples into information about drain. And so the way we compute these rates is, as you might expect, initially by comparing the difference in the timestamps, the difference in the battery drains. And then we combine these feature vectors to create a single feature vector. So we can condition and say there's some conditional rate given some set of features. And so I'll say a little bit more about this, because it turns out not to be as simple as I've described on the slide. I'll say more about that in a minute. But so from these conditional rates, we can build conditional probability distributions of the battery drain rate. And so it looks something like this. So you have energy drain rate in percent per second on the x-axis and probability. And we can use these distributions to look for what we call energy anomalies. So these are circumstances under which significantly more energy drain is occurring. So to be concrete, one particular type of thing we might look at is when, say, an app like Facebook is running on a device. We can look at the distribution of energy drain when that app is running. And we can compare this with the distribution when that app is not running. So this is just cartoon data. So if you saw a distribution like this where running Facebook drains significantly more energy than not running Facebook, then we would call this an energy hog. Now note that when Facebook is not running, that does not mean that nothing else is running. It means that sort of the average of all the other potential apps that people might be running is going on. Okay, so this is not sort of trivially true for any app that consumes energy. So you have you'll find that a lot of apps that you would think are energy hogs are not, and vice versa. So another thing we might care about is not just Facebook running in general on any device, but Facebook running on a particular device. So let's say Facebook on Jan's iPhone. And I'm just using iPhone as a punching bag. Okay, so so something to note here is that without the crowd, there would be no way to say whether this distribution is normal or not. So we can't say whether this is anomalous unless we also had information from other devices. Okay. So if we do have that information, then we can also look at Facebook that is running on devices that are not Jan's device. Okay. And so if we find a significantly greater energy drain, then we call this an energy bug. These are two of the examples of energy anomalies that we look for. And I should say just briefly that in general, the distance that we care about is just the difference in these expected values. In practice, there's a lot more that we do related to quantifying the error bounds and confidence and so on. But for the purposes of this talk, just understand that we're basically looking at the difference in these expected values, because what we care about is the difference in how long your battery is going to last if you're doing different behaviors. Okay, so there are various sources of uncertainty in the measurements that we're getting. And one of those sources of uncertainty comes from the battery API. And I'll give you an example from iOS. So you have certain types of notifications that are triggered and allow Carrot to take a sample of the state of the device. And one of these types of notifications is called a battery level changed event. And when this notification happens and you ask the API what the battery level is, and let's say it says 85%, then you can be reasonably confident that it's about 85%. And we check this, and it seems to be pretty accurate. For all of the other notifications that were served, however, the API is specified such that if the API tells you it's at 85%, it may, in fact, be 5% lower than that value, maybe between 80 and 85%. Okay, so this was discouraging when we were first starting to do our implementation. We thought this might be a no-go. But we decided that we would try to do some statistical techniques to see whether we could fix this problem. So what we did was we took these measurements that were from the battery level change notifications and used them to build a prior distribution. And we're going to use this prior to try to statistically fill in the gaps of uncertainty left by these uncertain measurements. And I'll show you how this works. So we have a prior, let's say, built out of these battery level change notifications. It looks something like this. This is, again, just a cartoon. And let's say that the measurements of our battery over time look like this. So you have time on the x-axis and battery on the y-axis. And let's say that blue line is the actual battery level. Now, caret intermittently is going to be taking samples that I'll represent by these little dots. So the green dots were taken when the phone was discharging, and the red dots were taken when it was charging. So we're going to throw away the red dots because we just care about battery drain. And we'll look at two consecutive samples from battery drain. Now, we know from the API that if the green dot is the value that's actually reported, that those black lines coming down are the range of possible values where the battery could actually be. And so we can say something about the highest possible drain rate and the lowest possible drain rate given these two samples. Basically these x and y values. So the high end of the first and the low end of the second, or the low end of the first and the high end of the second. And so we can use these to bound the range in the probability distribution, this prior that we built, and take a slice of this prior. And so we'll use this slice to be the distribution that we use for the rate between these two samples. So rather than a single value, we use this probability distribution that we've built by taking a slice of the prior. So this is one of the techniques that we use to deal with uncertainty. Now, of course, one of the next questions you might ask is, well, how accurate is this in reality? And so we've done some experiments, and I'll just talk today about one we did with an iPhone to measure both the overhead of doing this sort of sampling and the accuracy of it. So we hooked up this hardware monitor to an iPhone and looked at the overhead and the accuracy. So the power monitor over a course of 8 hours of using these devices, you get hundreds of thousands of samples from the power monitor, and you could build this distribution of energy use. And caret, meanwhile, over those same 8 hours, took about 9 samples. And so you have several orders of magnitude difference. But you still get pretty close in terms of the distribution. The other thing to note is that with and without caret is basically negligible. So to give you some actual numbers here, caret's able to, just with those 9 samples, get to within 0.00088% per second in terms of the error. And this is, okay, so 9 out of versus 28 million samples. And it uses less power than the weather app. Okay, so this is pretty nice. Our initial deployment was with a couple of beta testing services where you can do over-the-air betas. And then a week or so before the camera-ready deadline, we got on the App Store and the Play Store. So at the time, on June 11th, we had 883 devices and about 180,000 samples. Just to give you some sense of some of these initial results, we found 644 apps that were exhibiting energy bugs in this initial deployment. This included popular apps like Facebook, Kindle, Flipboard. And we were able to corroborate these with things like forum posts and user reports and data correlations. So we also did some synthetic bug injection experiments, which were successful. So caret did what we wanted it to do. And I won't say anything more about that right now. To give you a sense of what some of these bugs look like, this is an example of one of the bugs. This was Kindle running on iOS. This was a bug on 3.9% of the clients. It turned out that the problem was related to this WhisperSync protocol. Essentially, what was happening was that when users were running Kindle and they did not have Wi-Fi access, they were using significantly more energy than the users who were running using Wi-Fi when they were running Kindle. And so it turned out this was a bug in this protocol. And the solution here, if you turn on Wi-Fi, you get about 36 minutes on average improvement if you're one of these 3.9% clients. Another example of a bug is one we found on Android. So this is from the Twitter app. I put microblogging app in case you've never heard of Twitter. I don't know how that's possible, but this was a bug on 14.9% of the clients. It turned out to be heavily related to the operating system version. If you're running Ice Cream Sandwich 404, then there was about 90-minute difference in terms of the battery life you could expect while running Twitter. So this is a significant bug. So this was June 11th. And then 5 days later, something happened, which was that we were featured on TechCrunch. And so things changed rather quickly after that. Within 24 hours, we got featured on dozens of different news sources. By the next morning, we had more than 100,000 users. Currently, we have more than 360,000 devices that are instrumented with Carrot. I've collected more than 20 million samples from these. So we found all sorts of really interesting bugs and anomalies, and it's been really fun. So anyway, that's kind of the current state of Carrot. We've got a lot going on and a lot more planned. This is an example of deploying to the crowd and debugging in the cloud, which is something you've seen a couple of examples of, even just in this session, I think. But more generally, there's nothing about Carrot that's specific to energy. So we're also looking at using this for doing things like performance debugging and diagnosis. And finally, we also think it's more general than just mobile devices. So we're looking at it as statistics as a service. So you can imagine using this for things like body metrics or other sorts of applications where you have statistics about objects in the world that you want to aggregate and do some sort of analysis on. And so this is one of the things that we're working on. And if you go to carrotcs.berkeley.edu, you can find links to the Play Store and the App Store to download it. You can also find links to our GitHub. The client code is all open source. And so if you find bugs in the client code, we encourage you to fix them. I laugh. No one has ever submitted even a line of code to the GitHub. So anyway, that's all. Yeah, take questions. So when an app gets reported as an energy bug, and I'm not sure if everyone can hear the question, so I'll just kind of repeat it. The question was essentially, what you want is more a measure of kind of energy efficiency. That is, the app should be doing some service in exchange for the energy that it's consuming. So how does Carrot deal with this question? So when an app gets reported as an energy bug, there are a number of potential causes. So it could be that the app has an actual bug in the code in the more traditional sense. It could be a configuration on a particular device. And it could also be what the user's doing. So if Facebook's getting reported as an anomaly on a particular device, it might be because that user is sitting and just reloading their newsfeed over and over again, whereas maybe other users just stare at the status message for hours trying to decide how to impress their friends or something. And so the disparity between these sort of behaviors can have a big impact on the energy use and, of course, this efficiency question. So one of the things that we've been looking at doing is developer API. So what we'd like to do is offer developers the ability to add instrumentation inside of the app that would let us disambiguate some of these causes. Is it related to configuration? Is it related to user behavior? Is it actually a bug in the code and so on? So that's one of the ways that we're going to try to sort of disentangle this question of how efficiently is the energy being used. Well, so we have the action list that Carrot presents you is a ranked list of the expected improvement if you perform some action to deal with the anomaly. And so that goes down to, I think we cut it off at like a minute because saying, you know, you'll get 30 seconds if you kill this app isn't really useful. So it's a pragmatic threshold, but we don't just arbitrarily say, oh, you know, you have to have a distance greater than such and such. So we don't set any sort of arbitrary thresholds. In the current implementation, we have this sort of 95% confidence level where you need to have enough data. So before Carrot says anything about a particular app, you have to have enough data that you're actually confident that the expected value of one is greater than the expected value of another. We just use the statistical measure of, are you 95% confident that that's true? Yeah, Mike?
Do you track actually what people, have you tracked what people did from it?
What's that?
Have you tracked what people decide to kill? Like, do you comment about what type of decisions they make?
Right, so we can see which detail pages within the Carrot app people look at to find more about the energy bugs. But on iOS, for example, you can't see whether a user then goes and kills it. You can see whether the process disappears. But the problem, so it's complicated because of the way that processes are treated on iOS. So things can appear in the process list for a period after you've initially killed them. And so attributing whether or not Carrot is responsible for something getting killed is a little bit iffy. We now have the feature on the Android version, which I didn't talk about in this paper, where you can kill it from within the app, which is not something we could have in iOS. And so on the Android version, we have started tracking that, but I haven't looked at the data yet. Yes?
Yeah, this is Mian from Samsung Electronics. So just one comment about energy measurements. So basically, you're measuring the percentage of the battery level, right? But that is not the best thing to measure, because the battery level from 100% to 90% is very different from like,
that's right, it's nonlinear.
40%. So
that's true.
I wonder, after considering all these factors, how will that accuracy of energy measurement impact your results?
Right. So we're not doing anything explicitly right now with the nonlinearity of the energy drain versus percentage measures. We partnered with a battery company called Leyden Energy. And so we're using a lot of their more finer grained energy metrics and so on, and starting to do something a little bit more clever with that.
OK.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah.
If you are using Samsung phone, it's much accurate than the iPhone.
That's true. And actually, so one thing we noticed was on Motorola phones, we get much worse sampling granularity than on non-Motorola phones because of just this weird thing in their API where they just don't trigger certain notifications in the way that the API says that they should. It's supposed to save energy, but it's not good for us. Yeah. So when you say how much of it is concentrated in the top 10%, how much of what is? So top 10, if you just looked at the top 10 apps in terms of number of people using them, you're saying just look at the popular apps and say what happens, or? Sure. I mean, we've spent most of our time looking at the most severe problems. So rather than by number of users, we've been looking at the things that are consuming the most anomalously large amounts of energy. And this, in some cases, relates very closely with the number of users. So a lot of the top 10 hogs or top 10 bugs are very popular apps. So the examples that I was giving, like Pandora and Skype and Facebook and Twitter and so on, you typically see these. But you also see apps that are much less commonly used. So if you were to just initially filter by popularity, I think you would miss out on some interesting kinds of anomalies that we've seen. So I mean, to give an example of some, I don't know if it's top 10, but very top hogs that kind of surprised me, there was this family of sort of flight information apps where, it's a family of airlines that are closely related to one another, and you can download apps to do things. And there are different apps for each of the airlines, but it seems like they were all implemented by the same people, and they use a ton of energy for what they do. And so this is something that we would have lost if we had only looked at the people who use, Podunk Airlines. Yeah. Yes? So we get this question a lot. So this is great. So the way Carrot detects whether something's an anomaly is it compares samples with the app running and then without the app running. But Carrot can't take any samples when Carrot's not running, and so it just can never make any statement about whether or not it's an energy hog. But of course, as I said, we did these hardware experiments where we actually measure the amount of energy consumed by Carrot, and it's very, very small. And we get users who have no idea what's consuming energy on their devices, as you might imagine. And we had one user who vocally complained about how Carrot was running GPS all the time and mowing down the battery, and Carrot doesn't use GPS, for the record. So.